grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now in our gospel lesson, what we are dealing with is there is a confrontation, a disputation between the rulers of the people and Jesus. Now, John refers to these rulers, he refers to them as the Jews. But what he's not talking about, he's not talking about all the people, because many of the Jews believed in Jesus. So in the Gospel of John, when John says the Jews, especially when it's about a controversy between Jesus and the Jews, he uses that term, the Jews, in the sense of the governors, rulers, and leaders, both civil and religious, of the nation of the Jews. All right? So it is the rulers that are engaged in controversy with Jesus. And they first take offense at him. He calls himself the light of the world. He calls himself one who is able to judge. He says that if you continue in my words, you will be my disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so they take offense at the idea that there is no freedom apart from faith in Jesus. They are offended by this. And they claim that they have never been slaves to anyone, which is a lie. They were slaves to the Egyptians for hundreds of years, and later on they were captives of the Babylonians. And for the past several hundred years, they had been under the boot heel, first of the Persians, then of the Greeks, and now, worst of all, of the Romans. So they are offended that Jesus says that spiritual freedom is in me. And so they say, we have never been in bondage to anyone. But they don't stop there in their mistruths. They claim to be the children of Abraham. Jesus quickly tells them, you don't look like children of Abraham. You go around trying to kill me. Abraham didn't do stuff like that, right? So you don't look like children of Abraham to me. We are the true children of Abraham. Then they say, you do the deeds, Jesus says. You do the deeds of your father. And they say, we have one father, even God. And Jesus says this, so what they're saying is this: we are the true church, and we are the true children of God, even though they will not receive the word of the Son of the living God. If they were of God, they would love Jesus. The fact that they do not love him and do not receive his word shows that they have no faith in God at all. They have a pretentious, works-righteous religion, which is not faith at all. And so they say, we are the true sons of Abraham. We are the true children of God. Jesus says, no, you're not. If you were those things, you would love me, you would believe me. But you guys are busy following the desires of your father, the devil. Right? You are following the desires of your father, the devil. What does he mean? In specifics, he means you're plotting to kill me. I am the Messiah, and you are plotting to murder me. Right? That's the work of the devil. Right? That's the work of the devil. So you have put yourself on the devil's side in this whole equation. The devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil is the father of lies. When he speaks a lie, he's talking his own native tongue. All right? And so we Christians, we need to always beware that we are not buying into lies. And sometimes lies dress themselves up as angels of light. It looks all religious, it looks all spiritual, but in fact it's the devil and his deceptions. And so we have to be on our guard and beware. So Jesus goes on and he says, if I tell you the truth, why do you not hear me? All right? Why do you not believe me? He says, which of you is able to convict me of sin? Which of you can prove that I have sinned or that I have taught any false doctrine? Ah, just as I thought, none of you can. You don't like me, you hate me, but you cannot prove me to have sinned or to have taught false doctrine in any way. All right? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? If you can't prove me of error, then I must be telling the truth. And if I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? He says, I'll tell you why you don't believe me. Here, listen to this, because it applies to everybody. He that is of God, that is he who is born of God, heareth God's words. So it's a simple equation. If you are of God, you will hear God's words from Jesus. That is, you will listen to and be hungry to hear the word of Scripture being taught and preached. Right? Ye therefore, he says, hear them not. The reason why you do not hear me when I talk is because you are not of God. It's plain and simple. All right? There is a danger that when we as Christians fall into indifference, we get kind of caught up in the world and we get caught up in our temporal lives. We forget the Lord and we get tired of hearing the word of God. We start thinking to ourselves that, oh, I've heard that all so many times before. We don't realize that the words of Jesus are spirit and they are life. We want something that's a little bit more snappy, a little bit more entertaining, a little bit more gratifying to our flesh. And so we may begin to, not intentionally at first, but it basically turns into it, we begin to despise the word of God, lose our hunger for it, and begin to hunger for religion to do something a little bit more interesting. Beware of that. That's what these Pharisees and scribes were all up to. They were tired of the word of God, especially when it came out of the mouth of Jesus. And Jesus tells them flat out, anyone who does not receive my words, they do not receive my words because they are not of God. When a person receives my word, that shows that they are of God. So how did they respond to that? Well, the Jews answered and said unto him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and hast the devil? So they say, you see, we were right about you. You are a Samaritan and you are demon possessed. Right? So they what do? They slander him and they blaspheme him. The Son of the living God, anointed with the Spirit at his baptism, and they call him a demon-possessed man. And they refer to him as a Samaritan. That is a heretic. A heretic. All right? So weren't we right when we said that you are no good? You're a Samaritan and you're demon-possessed. Jesus, he answers very dismissively. He says, I have not a devil. Right? He simply dismisses that. Rather, I am honoring my Father. Right? I am honoring my Father. Every word that I teach, every miracle that I perform, and the things that I will yet perform, all of these, in all of them, I am honoring my Father. I'm doing exactly what He sent me into the world to do. I honor my Father, and you are dishonoring me. He says, I seek not mine own glory. He says, I'm not seeking my own glory or personal victory over you. I'm not just trying to win an argument here. I'm not seeking my own glory, but the Father is. He is seeking my glory. He is one that seeks it, and He judges or condemns those who will not honor me. So the Father is all about the honor of His Son. And those who dishonor the Son are dishonoring the Father. And whoever dishonors the Son has the Father not as the Savior, but as the judge. All right? And that's the truth here. And so Jesus dismisses them by telling them, He says, listen, I am, me and my Father, we are of one will and one purpose. You guys, on the other hand, with your hatred of me, show that you do not have any kind of connection to God. And you are putting yourself in danger of eternal damnation. Right? Because the Father seeks my glory, and He judges those who dishonor me. And then He says to the crowd at large, because Jesus is talking to these leaders, these Pharisees, scribes, and lawyers, etc. He's speaking to those, but in the background is a huge multitude of people in the temple because it's festival time. This is the Feast of Tabernacles, and Jerusalem is crammed full of people. And so He says to the whole crowd here, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now what Jesus means here, and you gain this by reading the entire Gospel of John, and you follow the flow of what Jesus is talking about, what Jesus simply means here is, if a man keeps my saying, receives it, holds to it, and does not let it go, if a man keeps my saying, he will never experience eternal death. That is, he will not go to hell. He will not be thrown into the lake of fire. That's what Jesus is saying here. If a man keep my saying, he shall never experience the lake of fire, eternal damnation. He shall never see, eternal death. All right, so in the midst of this controversy with his enemies, he remembers the people who are listening to this, and he makes a promise. Whoever trusts me has everlasting life. Right? Then the Jews, they said, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead. When did Abraham live? Abraham was born in 2166 BC, right? That's 2,166 years before the birth of Christ, right? So Abraham lived a long time in the past. You need to understand that in order for the rest of this to make sense. They say, Abraham is dead. And the prophets, they're all dead. When did the prophets live? The prophets lived from about 1456 BC, all the way down to about 400 BC. It is now 33 AD. And so the prophets all died a long, long time ago. All right. He says, Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Notice how they misunderstand and misconstrue what Jesus had said. Jesus was talking about eternal death. He was talking about judgment and damnation. He says, whoever keeps my words will never experience that. They will never experience eternal death. They will rather have eternal life. But these guys here, they take Jesus to mean that he's claiming that if you believe in him, you will never physically die. Right? So they interpret it as he's talking about, he's making the outrageous claim that if you believe in him, you will never physically die. Right? And then they say to him, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? So you think you're greater than Abraham? You think you're greater than the prophets? Who do you think you are? Who are you making yourself out to be? That's the big question here. So we've gotten to the point in our story where the big question has been asked. Who do you make yourself out to be? So Jesus says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me. How is the Father honoring Jesus? Number one, the Father is honoring Jesus by the incarnation and the baptismal anointing with the Spirit and the voice from above. Every one of the miracles which the Father gave Jesus to do is honoring Jesus. And the gospel which the Father gave Jesus to preach and to bequeath to his church is the Father honoring Jesus. All right? So everything in the public ministry of Jesus is the Father giving honor to his begotten, beloved Son. All right? If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. You guys claim that my Father is your God, but you have not known him. You don't know anything about God. You know, even though you claim to be the religious leaders of the people, you have not known God at all. But I know him. All right, Jesus says to these guys, these theologians, these PhDs, if you will, these citizens of the holy city, Fort Wayne. No, wait, I'm confused here. It's St. Louis. No, wait a minute. It's Jerusalem. Okay, all right. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I don't know him, I will be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. So Jesus says, I know all about God, and I keep his sayings. So everything that I say, everything that I do, is in accordance with the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then he says, your father Abraham, your ancestor Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Jesus was being a little provocative here. Jesus is a young man, and he's claiming that Abraham saw his day, right? Abraham, who died 2,000 years before, right? And he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now, what does Jesus mean here? Abraham received God's promise of the Messiah. He received the promise that his seed would be the one that would bring blessing to the whole world, right? So Abraham, in receiving from the Lord Jehovah the promises concerning the Messiah, Abraham, by faith, he rejoiced to see the day of Christ because he had received the word of Christ in the prophecies that were given to him. And in those prophecies, he saw the fulfillment, because the Bible tells us Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. So Abraham's faith was reckoned as righteousness, and Abraham rejoiced in Jesus Christ, even though Jesus was not yet going to become incarnate for another 2,000 years. Abraham had faith in Christ, and so did all the Old Testament saints and believers. They trusted in the Christ who was coming, and that faith was the faith of the Old Testament that justified people before God. Just as we look back on the deeds of Christ and believe them, they looked forward to the deeds of Christ and believed them, and they were justified by grace through faith. The gospel was always the same in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, all right? But most of the people in the Old Testament did not believe the gospel. So Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? So they mock him. They say, look at you, young whippersnapper. You supposedly seen Jesus? You're not even 50 years old. Jesus says, now here is the big line. You got to grab this, because there's so many leftist liberal theologians who like to say that Jesus never claimed to be God, that this was something that the church later on added to the Bible, all right? Here, he says to the Jews, he says, verily, verily, so he's making an oath here, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. What's he saying here? He's saying, before Abraham was ever even in the world, I am the eternal God. I am God Almighty, who existed from all eternity, the second person of the blessed Holy Trinity, eternally begotten of the Father, before all worlds. That's what Jesus is saying here. Our Nicene Creed is an extension of what Jesus here has said about himself. Before Abraham was, before he was born, before he was conceived, before he was even thought of, I am. That's what God said to Moses. When God came to Moses in the burning bush and he said to Moses, he said, I'm sending you to the children of Israel to redeem them from Egypt. And Moses says, after arguing with God for a while, he says, all right. Who should I say you are? When the children ask me, what's his name, this God who sent you? What should I say? And God said to him, I am that I am. Tell the children of Israel that I am hath sent me unto thee. You see that? So here, Jesus is quoting from Exodus chapter 3. All right? And he is making a claim that he is God become incarnate. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So the divinity of Christ is assured, all right? He says it explicitly, and the Jews, they see it, because what does it say in the last verse? It says they took up stones to throw at him. They knew what he was saying to them, and they rejected it. And so they were about to stone him to death. And then Jesus shines forth his divine power and glory, right? Remember, he's surrounded by all of these opponents and this huge crowd of people. And then it says here, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus exercised his divine power and glory so that he could just simply walk through the midst of them without them even seeing or perceiving him. Suddenly they became aware that he wasn't there anymore, and where'd he go? Right? But Jesus didn't like run away. He didn't like go crawl between people's legs and sneak out. He just simply exercised his divine will, his divine power and glory, and simply just walked right through the crowd and out before anybody was even the wiser, right? So in order to back up his claim to be I am that I am, he exercises his divine power and glory and just parades right out of the room without anybody being aware of it until they're aware that he's gone. So what is this saying to us today? It is encouraging us to, number one, be thankful that we are among the many who have been granted to receive the word of God in faith and to rejoice in it. We are to be encouraged and thankful that believing in Jesus, we do not fear eternal damnation, because we have, according to John 3:16, everlasting life. And finally, that sometimes when all the world wants to poo-poo the divinity of Christ and the truth of Holy Scripture, we sometimes feel a little intimidated, a little bit reticent. You know, are we really on the right track, or did we somehow miss the boat? No, you didn't miss the boat. Thank God that we have the Word of God. We take our stand upon the Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word shall never pass away, even if liberal scholars claim that it has. It has not. We have the Word of God, and when we take our stand upon it, we stand upon the rock, and that's where we want to remain standing. We want to build our house upon the rock so that when the winds and the floods come, we'll still be standing. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.